Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. It's a blessing to get to be here this morning. Always a blessing to get to be at Taylorsville Camp Meeting. I just want to say something the Lord always brings back to my attention every time I'm around this place and in meetings like this, is how much the Lord is caring for us and loving us through this ministry. I sit and listen to great preaching. And the Lord reminds me that's not them. That's me loving you. And when I listen to great singing that stirs me to love Jesus, He reminds me that's not them, that's me loving you, caring for you, as the preacher's already said. And when we go through that line over there this afternoon, those friendly, smiling, cordial, hospitable faces, God reminds me that's not them, that's me loving you. And I just appreciate God loving me in spite of me. And I appreciate Brother Steve and Brother Jamie, how they've helped my life. And how God has helped me so many times here in this place. I just bless the Lord for it. Appreciate the good preaching already this morning. I love Brother Doug. He's been a friend to me. I tell my church often, I'm headed to preaching, just hang on, I got to work this stuff out of my heart. I tell my church often, we're indebted to these gray-headed preachers. I told the church last night about Brother Rule passing, and he's been a help to our church and help to me. And I think often of that message he preached, church is what you make it. Our folks will mention it every so often. But I appreciate these that have gone before and have led the way. I'm going to ask you to open the Word of God with me to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And read a few verses here. Beginning in verse 1, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? They said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. I'm interested in that little phrase in verse number 3, the Lord hath need of him. I want to talk with you for a few minutes with this thought in mind. The Lord needs donkeys. This colt, best I can understand, is a donkey. Amen. A burro. A Middle Eastern mule. Amen. I heard one man say one time, a mule is a horse that's been put together by a Baptist committee. I don't know if that's true or not, but seems possible. This is an interesting statement that's here. The only place I find in the life of our Lord where he ever is in need of anything, the Lord hath need of him. Amen. The Lord needed him because he was usable. And I want us to see this donkey this morning as a kind of Christian that we ought to be. Amen. I want us to see this donkey as the kind of Christian man of God that the Lord uses. Amen. I'm not saying that the Lord needs us because of what we can do for him. G. Campbell Morgan said years ago, "Not by all that I can I do anything for God." Amen. But I am saying that the Lord needs us because of what he can do through us. The Lord needs channels through which he can work and manifest his life. The Lord needs human instruments submitted to him in which he can work through. I heard an old man say years ago, we need to sit down and quit trying to do something for God. Amen. That staggered me. Wow. Instead, he said, we should let God do something through us. I think the hardest thing I've come up against in ministry has been trying to get people to do nothing. Yeah. Wow. We Baptists want to pat ourselves on the back because we've done something. Right. I think God's trying to get us into nothing until he initiates something, and then he can get all the glory for it. Far too many of us are getting out of step with God and getting ahead of God. I've been thinking about some of the big mistakes in the Bible and those that made them, and one of them was Abraham, what he might say to us because of that big mistake. When he called Hagar in, Sarah told Hagar to go in, and she conceived, had a child through Abraham. He got ahead of God, trying to help God out because God just wasn't coming through on his calendar, on his time frame. And I just wonder what Abraham might have to say about that. I think he would say to you and I, don't get ahead of God. Amen. I think Solomon and his big mistake, what he might say to you and to me is, guard your heart. What Moses might say to you and me is, keep you cool. Yes, sir. Yes. We've been in trouble ever since Abraham got ahead of God. And the truth be known, that's what gets us in a lot of trouble. And I never cease to be amazed at what God uses. And you see it in the Scripture. The Bible is replete with illustrations of God's grace and sovereignty in those instruments and tools that he's pleased to use. Amen. I think about an old stick that Moses had, just an old stick, but when God got on it, it could part waters. Amen. I think about a jawbone of an ass, just like an old dead carcass laying there on the ground, but when God got on it, Samson could pick it up and wade into a sea of Philistines and lay them left and right for the glory of God. Amen. I think about 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. It got in the right hands that day, got out of the hands of a little boy, and got in the hands of the Lord. What a difference he can make with little when he gets in the right hands. I think about Gideon's lamps and pots and David's smooth stones. I'm saying there are a lot of things that God uses that you just don't think that's what would be used to get the job done. Dorcas had a needle. Then there was a story in the Old Testament where God nudged an old tree to reach out and grab rebellious Absalom by the nape of the neck. I remember when the Lord Jesus came walking on the water like he was golden sidewalk to get to a little band of frightened followers. The Lord used Peter's boat one day to preach from. And then the greatest instrument, most unlikely instrument of all, of course, is an old rugged cross. A Roman gibbet in which the Prince of Glory died and accomplished redemption for you and for me, reconciled us to God by His own blood. A lot of folks have been talking about what God's done for them this morning, and God took me back to East Tennessee and reminded me of a donkey that come riding into my life one day and brought God into my life. As a 13-year-old boy, I wasn't brought up in church. I'm not supposed to be here, Brother Steve. All my crowd ever did was make liquor and go to prison, and just about in that order. But one day there was a young man showed up on the steps at my house, oddly enough, redheaded as I am. His name was Paul Hall. We called him Weasel. And old Weasel said, "You want to go to church?" Don't know that I'd ever been but a couple of times in my life. And somehow I realized now God had put a hook in me when He said that. And started drawing me, reeling me in unto Himself. Went to the house of God, that little church in East Tennessee that Sunday morning. And the choir was singing. And the preacher was preaching, the Holy Ghost coming out of his nostrils. And God's people were loving on one another. And it was strange to me. I heard people talking to each other like I'd never heard people talking to each other. They called each other brother and they called each other sister. I just not hadn't been around that kind of talk. And God used it to draw me. And they asked me and they said, "You want to come back next Sunday?" And I said, "I believe I will." And I went back the next Sunday and they took me to McDonald's and got me a Happy Meal. I'll never forget that. As a 13-year-old boy, and they said that afternoon, "You want to go tonight?" I didn't know you went to church on Sunday night. All I'd ever done is watch Mutual of Omaha, Disney, Wild Kingdom on Sunday nights. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all stayed out of church. I went back on Sunday night. God help, standing there on the front row of that little Baptist church in East Tennessee. For the first time in my life, I realized I was going to hell. I realized I needed God. And somehow in that moment, that miraculous moment of realizing I needed God, God, the Holy Ghost ran me to Calvary and said, "You can get this settled. You don't have to go to hell." I want to thank God for the donkey that He brought into my life and brought God into my life. And carried me to God and brought God into my life and into my home. I want to show you three reasons this morning that God, the Lord, was pleased to use this donkey. Can I say to you to begin with, the Lord needed him because he could carry a load. A burro, a donkey is a beast of burden. About all they're good for is to carry loads. Now you've seen them on television, maybe trudging up some mountain pass or down some dusty road with a load of wagon hooked to them with some kind of cargo. And we've seen them loaded down with burdens and goods that was impossible for men to carry. They're sure-footed beasts. They're patient. They're long-suffering. God knows we need some of that in the church this morning. People that are patient and willing to carry a burden. Take on some responsibility for God. Did you know nothing gets done till somebody gets a burden? Amen. Nothing gets done until somebody hears the call of God and answers and realizes the need there is, and God gives them a vision. There's a great need, but difference between seeing a need and having a vision. Moses, when he started out, he saw a need down there in Egypt and he got ahead of God and didn't get anything done. And God let him sit over yonder in the desert for 40 years until he rotted. And everything dripped out of Moses. There wasn't anything left of Moses but what was of God. And then God came to him in a bush and spoke to him and he had a vision. And there's a difference between seeing a need and having a vision. And going and doing what God's called you to do. Nehemiah was used of God as God gave him a vision for the restoration of Zion. God gave him a burden. I'm sure this morning if I were to ask if anybody in this room was interested in a blessing, every one of us would raise our hands. But how many of us want a burden? I'm talking about taking what God's put on our shoulders, caring for souls, having a burden for that Sunday school class. Hey, preachers, how about that church? Instead of criticizing and talking about them, calling on God in their behalf, and bearing a burden and going to God for them. And going before them in God's place with a message from God. Oh, hear me. The pastor needs somebody to get a burden with him. That'll laugh with him. That'll pray with him. That'll work with him. That'll shout with him. That'll do what God's called him to do. That'll share the load of the work of God. I found out in the work of God, you're either going to pastor or you're going to help somebody pastor. And there's folks need to get a burden for the pastor. Amen. A burden for his needs, a burden for his life, his family. What's going on with him? Most folks and a lot of folks are keen and mindful of the pastor's obligation to them, and they fail to remember their obligation to the pastor. Amen. Somebody asked Spurgeon one time, what was the key to the blessing of God on his life? Without any hesitation, he looked at him and he said, my people pray for me. Every service, 500 people would be in the basement of that majestic tabernacle calling on God. No wonder there wasn't, they said no one was there, every seat in that place, somebody had been born again without even giving an invitation. Isn't that something? Now, I don't have 500 to spare, Brother Steve. I don't have one to spare. You don't have to be in the basement praying. Thank God you can be sitting in the pew praying. And you can be praying before you get there. You can pray all the time. Call on God in behalf of the church. Call on God in behalf of God's man. The Lord needed him because he could carry a burden. Then I see in the second place that the Lord needed him because he didn't mind the Lord Jesus getting all the attention. Amen. I don't think it's an accident that God used this old donkey instead of some kind of an Arabian steed that's common in that part of the world. Of course, the prophet said that's what would happen, didn't he? Yes, sir. Let me read it to you. I got it marked over here. I love it when God does what he says he's going to do. Zechariah chapter 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass. Amen. And upon a colt, the foal of an ass. This donkey didn't mind the Lord Jesus getting all the attention when they rode into town that day. They weren't talking about how pretty he was. They weren't talking about how correct he was. They didn't talk about how dressed up he was. They didn't talk about how formal he was. They was talking about the sovereign God that was riding on his back. And you know the most interesting thing about an old donkey is, you ever know what it is? You ever seen one? It's them old ears. Can't you see him when he come riding down Main Street, Jerusalem? I ain't never seen a donkey standing out in the pasture but his head hanging down. That's all he does. He just stands there with his head down. Don't nobody look at me. Don't look at me. Don't want to be seen. But his ears are sticking straight back. I was wondering if he's quoting that text in Psalm. Not unto us, O Lord. Not unto us. But unto thy name. Give glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. There's a lot of folks missing God looking for something that's impressive. I remember sitting in college one day in a classroom of ministerial students and started laughing. And I said, God, it's a wonder you get anything done with what you've got to work with. And then I got to look at it myself and it made me cry. God, it's a wonder you get anything done through the likes of me. Oh, listen. I've noticed there's no pride in a donkey. Now an old show horse, he'll walk around so you can see him. He wants to be seen. He knows he looks good. You ever been to a horse show? Watch an old Tennessee Walker? Boy, it's a sight to see. They'll squat down in the back, man. They walk around that ring so proud. They're dressed up. They got their mane braided and their tails braided, and they'll put on a show. They'll move that head back and forth, throw them feet, squat down and throw them feet. It's a sight to see. And the louder the crowd gets, the more a show they'll put on. God help us not to put on a show in this hour, but to get low before God. God isn't attracted to pride this morning. Did you know that? The Word of God said He hates pride. God said He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. He doesn't pay any attention, but He's gracious and merciful to the proud. He'll bend over backwards to get to that one that comes in crawling into the house of God. Think about what Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 66. But to this man will I look. Wouldn't you like to get God's attention? Amen. But to this man will I look. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. There was two fellows Jesus talked about that went up to the temple. One of them prayed to himself. I think he's making a point to let us realize that's about as far as it got. Then he looked down on that fellow standing over there next to him and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like this man. The reason we get so proud and arrogant. Hey, did you know, have you ever seen anybody strut while they're sitting down? Well, Abraham Lincoln said, the ground the peacock sits on is barren. There ain't no life or growth there. The middle letter in pride is I. The middle letter in sin is I. And it was I that wrecked the universe, beloved. It was self that wrecked the universe. Oh, God hates pride. But God has His eye on that one that's poor and of a contrite spirit. This donkey evidently understood a valuable truth that we need to understand. We're not with the Lord so we can be seen, but so that we can be instruments through which He can manifest His resurrected life. Paul said it like this in Philippians 3, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but now as always Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Amen. God channels through the lowly. God swings big doors on little hinges. Yes, He does. And the reason the Lord needed this donkey is because He didn't mind the Lord Jesus getting all the attention. Amen. He was content that the Lord had just choose Him. I'll tell you, there's a lot of donkeys walking around in Israel. But God specified this one and said, I want Him. Amen. I'm here to tell you, either He does or He don't, men. Amen. What is it? Either He does or He don't. I'll tell you one thing, I wasn't looking for Him when He found me. Amen. I thank God He come in my direction. Amen. I did pray. I did repent. But it wasn't until God initiated a work of grace in my heart and God Almighty quickened me unto Himself. I didn't know I needed God till God showed me I needed Him. Amen. He's just content that God had choose Him. He's content that the Lord would get on Him. Don't miss that little statement there in verse number 7. He sat on Him. That's the only thing going to make a difference in any city, any town, any church, any life is when God gets on a donkey. It's the only difference going to make in your life and in my life is when God gets on us. Now this is a donkey whereon never man had sat. He'd never been broken. I'll tell you something. He knows how to break us when He gets on us. That's what makes us fit is when He gets on us. Amen. He'd never been to a stall. Never been to a horse trainer. Never been to a donkey trainer. Never been to school to learn how to walk down Main Street, Jerusalem. But God got on him and He did a pretty good job that day. Amen. Amen. I read about a little fellow sitting in church one Sunday. He looked up to his dad and said, "Where's the man that usually stands in front of the cross?" They had a visiting preacher. He's a little bit smaller than the pastor. Somehow he was covering up the cross that was in the baptistry. God help us not to get in the way of the cross this morning. Amen. God help us not to get in the way of people seeing God this morning. The Lord needed him because he didn't mind the Lord Jesus getting all the attention. He could carry a load. Now here's another thing, and I'm through. I appreciate your patience. And I say to you, the Lord needed him because he is willing to let the Lord Jesus direct his life. Yes, sir. The Bible said in verse number 4, they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met. There he was at the corner, crossroads. I've tried to put myself there, and I guess I've been there, and you've been there too, at a place where two ways met, and you look down one road, and you think, boy, doesn't that look good down through yonder? I can hear him saying, boy, if I ever get loose, that's exactly where I'm headed. And then after a while, he'll turn and look this way, and he'll say, you know what, I believe that looks good out through there. There's a lot of green grass over there in those hills, and I saw a few jennies go down through there. I saw some wealthy-looking donkeys go down that path. I believe that's where I'm headed. He's in a place where two ways met. He had a plan, I'm sure. But God bumped into him. God ran in on his life, and there was plans bigger than his plans. And here he is, an unbroken animal. They grabbed him and led him. The scripture said, led him and brought him to Jesus. The reason he could be used and the reason the Lord needed him is because he didn't mind the Lord leading his life. Amen. And God taking him where he wanted him to go. Oh, hear me this morning. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of thy ways. And what did he say? He shall direct thy paths. God's in the business of leading us. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the best of those who leave the choice with him. We need to find out which way God's going and go with him. Instead of trying to pray and ask God to bless what we're doing, why don't we just find out what God's doing and then just be on the watch for the blessings to come. Amen. It's a whole lot easier to get God to do what he said he's going to do than it is to try to create something and come up with some genius plan and get God to do what we want him to do. Amen. Ah, the blessing of God is in the leadership of God. I'm finished, Brother Steve. I just wonder. Just wander around Taylorsville. I know there's some pretty horses around here. I've seen some of them. They walk good. They look good. I'm just inclined to believe what God's looking for is some donkeys that'll just get under responsibility. Thank God for these men. A lot of folks think there's a lot of glory and there's a glamour and there's visibility in this. This is a responsibility. This is a burden, a call from God these men have shouldered. And you know what? They've brought God to our lives. And I've seen them bring God into my family now, my children. Thank God. What about some donkeys around Taylorsville? Don't mind if the Lord gets all the attention. They don't mind to just let God lead and have his way.